RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Oh, ho-hum.
Nine. Is that a meme of a bad quarterback? Is it a mere number? No. It is currently the Buffalo Sabres' warpath.
Man, they can't lose right now. They are even getting, like, some of the craziest puck luck I've seen. Of just like, oh, they didn't go in. Phenomenal. Empty net goal, great. The last 30 seconds of that game, because once Krebs puts the empty netter in, it's over with. Unbelievable run of events where I am just both glued to the TV. I'm gripping whatever close to me because it looks like, oh no, they're going to let this one go. Lion, I thought I was with Joe, Sneaky Joe. I thought he was going to get a tripping call on that. Doesn't. And then 5 seconds later, Peyton Krebs from basically across the ice.
That would have been icing netter. If he misses it.
Yeah. Empty netter, 4-2 win. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Just, man, they're so much fun. And Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive, whatever you're looking for. You'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. They're a genuine joy to watch. They're getting contributions from, it feels like, everybody. They're grinding games out. They're also just, at time, you know, it's a 4-2 game and it takes the empty netter to get to four. But also, I would at least say definitely these past three games, the shot totals, the shot numbers compared to the other teams, they are smothering them.
Puck possession.
Man, it's been so much fun to watch. There are signs that maybe it's a bit fluky. And, well, yeah, I mean, I think any 9-10 game win streak is in some ways fluky. You're probably going to regress somewhat to a median. But I don't really care. I'm having a blast. We heard Paul Hamilton on earlier today with Joe and Nate, and we'll talk to Paul in about an hour and a half at 11:30. You know, talking about point percentage right now with that, they would be in the playoffs. They're right now tied for that last wild card spot. I think if Florida would have lost yesterday, they would have been in it going into the New Year's Eve game tomorrow against Dallas. But it's been so much fun, and it is somewhat funny. I think no doubt that this streak did start when Kevin Adams was still the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Jarmo Kekäläinen has not made a single move outside of sending some guys down to Rochester because Jason Zucker got healthy. You know, it is the team Kevin Adams did build. Like, ultimately, that is objectively a fact. And yet, I think most people would acknowledge they probably continue to go on the streak because they do fire Adams. Something has changed in that building. There is much more consistency in the performances. There does seem to be a natural flow with the lineup. Guys seem to be in much better spirits. Obviously, winning is going to help that, of course. But it does almost just feel like a specter around the organization was, you know, in a sense, exercised. And now they're able to just kind of play. It still feels like they're just playing free.
And there's a lot that has to be talked about with the Sabres in terms of how everything is going. By the way, 803-0550 if you want to get in on this. Because the idea of today is, are you bought in? Are you bought in on this crazy season? Or are you still keeping them at an arm's length? That is the question we put up on Twitter. It is the question that I really have for today based on the vibes of it. Because, and weirdly enough, they've won 9 games in a row, Zach. They're not officially in a playoff spot.
No, and that's the thing.
They're in ninth.
Yeah, Paul was saying it based off of point percentage, but if you look at the standings now, they're not in it yet. It is funny, though. Paul's entire premise of this now, like a month ago, was they're going to need to go on like a 7-plus game win streak to even have a chance.
And the way you looked at them,
and they're still not in.
And the way you looked at them,
mm-hmm.
there was no way you saw this coming.
Right.
I do think there's a lot of things to theorize about this team. I do think there's going to be a lot of discussion about Adams, the role that he had, and how it all of a sudden is working now. Because that's the thing that's the true mystery in all this. They've won 9 games in a row. They're playing defensively responsible hockey. And all of a sudden, it just turns into, yeah, this is the same team that started out and ended up in last place in the Eastern Conference. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Because the streak starts while Adams is still employed.
What are they, 3-0 when he's fired?
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 straight when
they're
fired.
It's 3 straight when they get there. But it's also, you started 0-3 on that Western trip.
Mm-hmm.
Then the picture of Vecna's clock is on social media, and all of a sudden, the Sabres start racing off to wins. Adams is then let go. And here we are. 6 more wins later, after Kekkonen was brought into the fold officially as the GM, they're still not losing. So there is a little bit of a mystery into, okay, what gives? This is the same team from earlier this year. This is the same team that started 0-3. This is the same team that lost 5 in a row. This is the same team that had 4 of 5 games go to overtime, and they only won the one in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't solve overtime. This is that same team. What's different? And when you watch the game, contextually, it is better defense. When you watch the game, you are seeing a little bit more balance. When you watch the game, it is everything that you're looking for in terms of cohesion. Everything that you're looking for in terms of your star players are stepping back up. Because they start the year, and Tage is not doing well. Tuck isn't doing well. Dahlin is not doing well. We find out really why. He leaves and comes back, and he's mentally recharged to a point where this isn't an accident anymore. The Sabres are playing at a 66% win percentage since he came back.
I mean, we finally just got their first win of the season without Dahlin.
And they finally got their first win in a couple of years without Dahlin. They are playing now with a sense of cohesion. And I think that that was a good time that was to happen. Yes, you have an opportunity to win that game because they're streaking already. When Dahlin's out against Boston,
mm-hmm.
they're streaking already. But you also haven't beaten Boston yet this year. They've got you at 0-2 on the season. So you have that problem. You have Dahlin out. Okay, perfect mix. But you're also red hot. And then you stay red hot. Matias Samuelsson makes one of the most complete plays that you're going to make in a season.
Yep.
Walls off Morgan Geekie, who is second in the league in goals, by the way, for some strange reason. I still refuse to believe this person is the second.
He hasn't had like a run of goals either in a little while. He's somewhat cooled off, nothing crazy. But
he's still there.
He's still second in goals.
But you wall off Morgan Geekie, not just spring up the offensive play, you take the puck in for the rush, and it leads to a goal seconds later. Directly responsible. Bowen Byram and Owen Power. Guys that have been much maligned, I would say. Power more so than Byram in terms of its criticism. Byram sometimes makes bigger mistakes and is not as highlighted as Power is. But Byram doesn't have that contract. They are having highlight games now. Ottawa. Byram comes up with all 3 points. 2 goals, 1 assist. Power, these last 2 games, he's really carried the defensive responsibility on this team. And I do think that I think they just need to focus on him being the 5-on-5 and PK specialist. Like,
yeah, I'm cool with him really not being much on the power play.
I'm cool with the more offensive defenseman in Byram
mm-hmm.
being the guy on the second power play unit. That's a nitpick. I'm not going to worry about that. But each of them has stepped up lately. Michael Kesselring, it looks like, okay, this trade's kind of looking like, thank goodness you got Josh Doan. He's starting to get his legs under him finally because he starts the year with injury. He gets banged up again just as him and Power are starting to feel a little bit of a flow, and he has to work himself back into it. Not a mistake that it takes a couple games after injuries to get back into the right feel of things. You're getting these good things happening now. Noah Ostlund is becoming a very interesting note in this season. Because when do the rumblings of Adams being removed really start? It's when Ostlund's sent down again. And Lindy Ruff says publicly the only thing wrong with his game is that he was sent down. And then, hours later, I guess you can call it, half a day later, there is, oh, Adams might be on the out.
Yeah, it really may have been the final straw.
Ostlund might have been the final straw. And he's not just playing well defensively, he's now putting some points up on the board. And it comes to a human element that you brought up when we were talking before the show. And I want you to kind of share that one of what is different about them.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it right at the rip of kind of like the idea, and I know we've got a tweet about it as well, so we'll get to that as well. But I think there was really something here, the human element of just I think Mike Shope has brought this up. We've talked about it a little bit with the Bills, but I think especially with the Sabres. When you know management sucks, when you know, and this could be true of your job, of their job, whatever, when you know your bosses are not giving their best or doing their best, shouldn't be in their position, what have you, it is hard to go to work and to keep trying to keep doing your best or even just put your best forward because, well, it may not mean anything. You know, my boss isn't doing his best. He doesn't deserve to be here. They're not going to do anything to me. I'm fine. I think it's a very human thing. I think as well, you've mentioned it too, last year, 4 months, you had to go into work knowing we're not making the playoffs. This does not matter. And for some of them, maybe I'm just putting my career at risk. I might get hurt. These are essentially exhibition games in many cases.
It's just demoralizing knowing that anything I do out there isn't really going to matter for 4 months last year.
Where I think, and mainly just because of how you see how Yarmo gets the job, there was probably feelings within the building, players. I mean, if anyone's been on a sports team, it doesn't really matter what the team is actually doing. The players will talk. The players will have their own feelings, their own theories. As many of these guys will probably say, no, we don't even think about it. Yes, they do. At least some of them. Yarmo's hired.
Hockey players are very media trained.
Right.
And by that, I mean they say nothing.
They will be boring in when they talk to the media. And so, like you see, like Yarmo gets hired as ultimately he's going to just help out. He doesn't really have like a serious official role. He's more just going to be a consultant that comes in and just kind of helps out and is kind of an earpiece for Adams to kind of get the best idea. You don't think some of these guys saw that and went, well, Yarmo's going to be our GM in 5 minutes. Why isn't he just our GM? And then as the rumblings start to come, and that's the thing too, they start to win, and even when that happens, there's already rumblings that he might get fired when they return from the road trip. I mean, he's fired when they've won three in a row, their first time winning that many games in a row all season. And so I think there is something here of just, that's why I mentioned, like there was a specter around the organization that they were able to get rid of. I think that's what it is for a lot of these guys, is just now it feels more serious. I think even for some of these players, it actually feels like they're a real hockey team. They played a part in this. That is not
right
to exonerate the players on the ice. They absolutely played a part in this. Lindy Ruff, the head coach, has played a part in this. But this also points to what many people in hockey have been saying for a few years now about the Sabres, which is they're talented. I kind of don't know why they're so bad.
The analytics were really big on them this year. In terms of season projections, the model, everything like that, where everyone's like, okay. It got to a point, Zach, where you and I kept talking about this. I even brought it up on air at some point when no one had appetite to talk about the Sabres because it was Bills season, everything like that. And I said, I'm starting to get scared.
Right,
they're all too bullish.
People are believing, and it's people who have been they've been in the know on this stuff. They've been able to get it right and kind
it's
of
that the Sabres keep matching the projection models. Mm-hmm. And like we used to get mad when the analytic models would say, no, the Sabres aren't a playoff team. And we're all like, what are you talking about? They look fine out there. and then they would ultimately be proven right. We, as a Sabres community, have probably embraced it more than others because we keep seeing, yeah, they've got us out of the playoffs. That sounds about right. And this year, it was, no, they're going to take third in the Atlantic. They're going to be a wild card team. They're going to do things this year. And we're all like, okay, sure. Are you okay with that? Like, Sabres Twitter is a fun ride with that because you'll get immediate loyalty from people, but it's almost as a joke to start the year. And now it's turning around because the projection models really were at, you can't consistently be this bad with goaltending and special teams.
No, right. It was you were going to regress positively to, okay, yeah, you're going to be average at that.
You're going to be, if you
get
average.
At worst, you're going to be average.
If you get average from both of these things, you'll be fine. And look what's happening. 803-0550 is the number to call as we get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia. What's New York's number one Kia dealer? Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to John in Batavia. John, welcome to the Extra Point Show. What you got for us?
Hello, thanks for the show. I'm hesitantly saying yes, I believe in this team. I've been having some arguments with my friend and my brother who was kind of burnt out, and they remember the 10-game win streak back in 2018, but that 10-game win streak, that was a result of hot goaltending. There was a lot of overtime and shootout victories. This is more legit. I mean, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs this year, but at the very least, they should. At the very least, be a few points short. I expect this team to be exciting and keep it interesting, but I have very cautious optimism. Do you agree? I'll hang up and listen.
John, thanks for the call, man. I think that's. I will not disparage anyone that looks to 2018, 2019, that 10-game win streak, and goes, "No, I've been burned before." I totally get it. And that was earlier in the season where you were building up leg room there. I mean, like that was done in November, and you could have a bit of a rough run and then pick it back up. Like this is, you know, December, January. We're getting towards, it's still February, but we're getting towards the Olympic break.
We're launching to the halfway point. We're almost there.
That's when this team goes on that run. But John brings up a good point that Derek, me and you talked about a lot last week. That 10-game win streak, 7 of the 10 wins are overtime or shootout. Now we're at the point 3. Of the 9 wins of this streak were overtime or shootout.
And now you're looking at a different perspective of now they're showing that they can win these games in regulation, a bugaboo that they had to start the year, as a matter of fact. Some of their overtime losses were not the scrappy, we stole a point. It was the we gave it up.
Right, and that's where when me and Paul were talking about that, when we were doing it at the time, we're both like, I hate getting greedy because we've talked about it for years of get loser points. Now they're getting loser points, but we're like, but not like that.
But you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. You're not stealing a point on the road. You were up 3-1. You gave up 3 goals, 3 ultimately unanswered goals to lose in overtime. What are we doing here?
Or even the games that you managed to win that ultimately are like the shootout wins or something like that, or even some of the overtime wins. Even one of these wins that starts it, actually, the first win of the streak, Edmonton, they score with less than 2 seconds left?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And you have to then grab it back, which you do almost immediately in overtime, actually. But those overtime losses, they were also your big players, your top billing guys are making catastrophic mistakes in 3-on-3. Whether it's having a blown tire, flubbing on a chance, there's the Quinn and Power both not getting a shot on goal on a on a what ultimately turns into like a 3-on-1 situation, because then Power follows it up and it just like loses off of his stick. There's Thompson trying to get too greedy at one point on one of them, like Quinn passing up another shot. Like there were a lot of mistakes being made in those overtime losses, or even the ones that they managed to pull off. But the OTLs, they were really catastrophic. To a point where it's like, okay, maybe we don't go to overtime anymore, guys. Like, I've had my fill.
We've done enough of this.
We've done enough. And the one that they win, because it's hilarious that they had 5 games that go to overtime in a row. But the one that they win, they're surviving against the Capitals. They take a penalty in overtime. Yet, Lukanen spinning on his head, making sure the game stays alive, and then they win it in a shootout. But the things that they're fixing from earlier in the year, they were allergic to winning away from KeyBank Center.
I was about to say, I'm like, we're not even bringing it up, but most of this win streak, and still my favorite part about it, is the fact that it has effectively fixed their road woes. I'm not asking for a team to be well over 500 on the road. Like, if you're as dominant as they are at home, and they are one of the best, not just in the East, but in the NHL this year at home, but they were equally one of the worst on the road, and they've all but effectively fixed that just in this win streak alone.
It's kind of funny, because you look at two teams with this on opposite ends of the spectrum. The Sabres, despite winning six games on the road, are now like turning into a middle or bottom of like below average road record.
I think they're 8-9-2.
They are 8-9-2.
Yeah.
And they have the best points percentage in the Eastern Conference at home. Then you look over at the New York Rangers, a team that is one less point than Buffalo, though they've also played three more games. But at home, they're 5-10-3.
Yeah, they can't win.
The Rangers have the best road record in the Eastern Conference. Nearly the NHL, but Colorado refuses to lose games in regulation.
Yeah, they just don't lose, yeah.
They're
incredible.
No, they're obnoxious. They have two regulation losses the entire year. Both of them are on the road. They have yet to lose in regulation in front of their own fans.
That's incredible. 16-0-2.
Absolutely wild
incredible.
Stuff.
Incredible.
But the Sabres are not just winning in front of the fans now. Now they're winning on the road. And now they're showing that they can be a real boy. Puppet stage is over. Pinocchio's a real boy. We're hanging out here. But the damage that they did to start the year, we're having all this kind of fun with them, right? They could still very much not make the playoffs, because if the season were to end today based on points percentage, they would make it. But no, they would not, actually. Excuse me. They still would be out.
I mean, even before this win streak starts, they lose three. They lose the first three of that road trip.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's, we've talked about it. They did a lot of damage themselves. They weren't even a particularly bad team. They were kind of flirting with 500 really up until the streak started.
Right.
And but yeah, now though, they sit at 20-14-4, 44 points. They're right there. They have now at least made it to where I think even fans that aren't fully bought in, and again, 803-0550, the number to call, give your thoughts on where you sit with the Sabres. Are you all in on this with nine wins in a row and the January schedule looking pretty juicy for the Sabres to at least kind of continue their winning ways? Maybe not necessarily get their streak to 15 or anything like that. They got to go to Dallas tomorrow, but at least in the sense of, no, this could still look very well. But they did do some damage, and now they've righted the ship, and they haven't even made a move yet. That is still what gets me, outside of the road wins being kind of, you know, the road woes being fixed, that is still maybe, I think, the most exciting thing, is that this is the exact same team. Nothing on paper has changed yet with the change at GM. That gets me real excited going forward. 803-0550, again, the number two call. We'll get more on the Sabres at 11:30 with Paul Hamilton. We've also got primetime players coming up at the top of the hour, but in between all of that, it's your time to shine. Jump in. Give us your thoughts on the Sabres. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Our number one continues to roll along here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres have won nine in a row. If you're wondering why we're not talking about the Bills, well, they're playing the Jets, and probably their backups will all be playing.
Yeah, Sunday is going to be unfortunately boring. In a lot of ways, the one that is like, this is the final game of that Highmark Stadium. It moves across the street next year. So, yeah, that part is, I hate to say it like this, that part's probably the only storyline. Because the Bills will even know heading into the game how many yards they need to give James Cook for the rushing title.
I was talking with my buddy, and he's like, do we play Cook? And I'm like, I literally think it'll come down to, did Jonathan Taylor pass him or not?
And it'll probably be two quarters worth of work. It's the Jets.
Yeah.
It's the Jets. He could probably get it on one run.
That was a lifeless performance by them. Real quick, lifeless performance by them against Drake May and the Patriots. I made a joke that I was like,
Man, this is a team that looks like they want their coach fired. Just saying. That was really embarrassing for the Jets.
And that's on their standards.
And this is for somebody, like, I was a big Aaron Glenn believer. I thought that was a great hire for the Jets. I thought it was kind of like, I thought it was a great idea to grab from Detroit, who is a disastrous franchise, inarguably bad ownership and everything they were doing there. I thought that was a great move for them. On one side, it has worked. The Bears with Ben Johnson, like, worked. They're not going to be the one seed, but they won the NFC North this year, and Caleb Williams has looked better and better as the year's gone on. His stats on the season are a little bit shaky, but as the year's gone on, he's looked pretty good. And I do wonder if it's going to be kind of like a Bruce Arians type situation where season one is dicey, and then from then on, they look like world beaters. You saw that most notably, I think, with like Carson Palmer with Arizona, where his first year in Arizona was a disaster, a ton of picks, the whole thing. The rest of his time there until he is done is very, very good. So it worked really well for the Bears and Ben Johnson. It is, I mean, on the other side, Ben is equally a disaster for the Jets and Aaron Glenn. And I still like Glenn. I think, though, ownership's bad. The quarterback position was a disaster. And also, I think really just the talent on the roster has probably been, in many ways, very much overblown. With all that being said, though, I will always be worried about a team that has two first-round picks in one draft and three in the very next. That is a lot of high-end talent. And if you nail even 50% of that, that is going to be some really, really good talent.
And if they don't, it will be, okay, yeah, you really are the Jets.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And it's a superpower at this point. But enough about one team leading their respective sport in a playoff drought actively right now. Let's go back to the other one in the Buffalo Sabres. Wow, that's a terrible bridge to walk across. But
you're hoping the one ends it finally.
I'm able to connect it nonetheless. But the Sabres have been fun. They've been exciting. And we're taking your calls today, 803-0550. If you want to talk about the Bills as well, we can keep the phone lines open on that for you as well. We're not going to reject callers on that if you're concerned about them. But go to Jim in Wheatfield. Jim, welcome into the Extra Point Show. What you got for us?
Good morning. You're talking to an extremely frustrated fan. I'll get to that in a minute. But I do have one question. What do you think will happen when Zucker returns? I don't know if he's scheduled to return in Dallas, but my initial thought was maybe Krebs goes back down to the fourth line, but I just wonder what your take was on that.
Well, Jim, thanks for the
Jim,
call.
You're reading my mind on that one because that's exactly what I want to have happen. And I think Krebs has been playing okay on the first line. He's had his shining moments now. He's finally getting a couple goals. Empty net scenarios, all of a sudden he's Wayne Gretzky, and I'm okay with that. But it makes too much sense to do something a little different right now because there's a couple of lines that it's not really all the way clicking. I think the simple move is you get Zucker back with McLeod and Quinn because that trio does work pretty well when he's healthy. You move Benson up and you move Krebs down. Done. Because you're the Norris line, Norris, Oslin, Tuck, they've been just fine. Let them cook. But line one's been a little shaky at times right now. Thompson, Doan, Krebs, it doesn't seem like it's consistently giving you everything that it can. And I think part of that is you can get more of those turnovers that Benson forces and start sparking it that way.
I also think the playmaking ability of Benson with Thompson probably helps him get along as well. Because that's a big thing on this win streak too. They are putting up a lot of shots, I think especially in these last four or five games. They're not scoring a crazy amount. It's not like they're winning some of these games 6-2, 7-1, or anything like that where like they're dominating. They're like maxing out at 4. I think there's a 5-goal game in there, but it's a lot of like 3-1, 3-2 wins, and that's where you brought up as well. It's the defense that's really kind of locking this win streak down. They're playing sound. They're getting great goaltending as well, although Alex Lyon was a little shaky to start last night. The thing I'm most excited about with Jason Zucker coming back, Derek, is the power play. It's the one thing I'm constantly nervous about with this team is that they can go into just a barren wasteland on the power play. Even these last three games, which they've won just in these last three, they're 0-for-7 on the power play. And getting Jason Zucker back, who is their top scorer on the power play, both in goals and I believe in points as well, should help them. And I think what has really helped them as well, they've not had to rush him back. They are winning.
Right.
Look, if they were on a losing streak, I think there's a really good chance he plays last night just because we need to do something. We need to change something up. The fact that they've now won 9 in a row, I think, has allowed them to kind of slow play it, wait till he's 100%, wait till he's been able to get some practice under his belt as well. Then you can go and rather than just throw him to the fire and be like, all right, well, figure it out, baby. Because that happened with Michael Kesselring. I mean, well, not to necessarily that extent, but they did rush him back, or at least he rushed himself back, and it wasn't perfect.
Right.
And it did somewhat hurt his start to the season.
And I think the other thing, though, right now is, to help further answer the lineup question on this, it becomes who goes out of the lineup, and the answer is alternating Josh Dunn and Jordan Greenway. Especially because Greenway, they're trying to manage him throughout the season right now. Speaking of a player that might have been rushed back, it might have been Jordan Greenway. But now you can give him every other game at this point. You can alternate him back in the lineup as it is. When Kozak is also into the lineup as well, because he was a scratch yesterday, but he's still banged up. But he was mentioned as well. Player that could be coming back into the lineup soon. All of a sudden, you have players that you can rotate in on the bottom of the roster at the forward core again if you get healthy. And that is all without saying anything about Yuri Kulik and the timeline that will be there with his blood clots. That would be I think that's a March discussion.
And it's always going to be just be up in the air.
Yeah.
You never know. I know Paul's talking about
this. I'm not even
going
to think about Yuri Kulik coming back in the lineup until about March, but it's at least, hey, don't forget about this kid.
Right.
Because he's still here too. I will be interested to see what they do with the lineup with Zucker coming back. But I think the easy move is Benson to Thompson and Doan. Krebs down to fourth line. Zucker with McLeod and Quinn because they work well together. Because in the NHL, you typically want to work with things in duos. That's how you do it. And right now what I'm seeing is a duo that clicks with Norris and Oslin have been fantastic together.
Yeah.
And it's weird because Tuck is the third player that is on that line. But those two seem to have a connection in Oslin and Norris. McLeod and Zucker is a duo they like to keep together. Over this past year and change, it is typically those two are together. They do well. And Quinn is your extra player that you add into that. Benson seems to work with anybody. So why not back up on line one? Because right now it looks like the duo that you're trying to work with is Doan and Thompson. They could elevate Tuck to that top line with Thompson and see if they can go with.
I wouldn't be surprised by that either,
Thompson,
by the way.
Tuck, Benson.
Yeah, I would not be surprised by that either. Just to get like the most out of your high-end talent. Mm-hmm. That was, by the way, last night.
That means you put Dome with the duo of Oslin and Norris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll sign up for that.
You could sign up for that. But on Tuck, though, you could do that just because last night was his first goal since early December.
Yeah.
I mean, he went – for most of the streak, he kind of hasn't been all that involved, at least on the score sheet.
Right.
Especially from goal scoring. I could see that in that sense, too, of just let's get the high-end guys going. We're getting really good defense. The scoring has been somewhat the thing that's letting us down a little bit here. We're winning. But
But it looks a little like the classic Lindy strat of balance.
Right. You're getting balance. You're getting depth scoring out of this. But it's also one of these things I brought up last week when I think we were, what, at like 6-7 wins? You can still change it up. You don't have to like wait for the first loss and then go, okay, well, now we're going to shuffle the board. You can keep shuffling the board just to keep getting the most out of this. Because what is most important is not necessarily this win streak. It is how you handle after the first loss. It is how you go to that next step. Because that's where, when people bring up the 10-game win streak in 18-19, everyone does point to, they immediately have a long losing streak.
Right.
And that's where and that's why I do bring up the January schedule of, you'll start the new year at Columbus, home against Vancouver, at the Rangers. We mentioned the Rangers, how bad they are at MSG. Vancouver's having a bad year. Columbus is having a bad year. I think Columbus now is last in the
Columbus
East.
Columbus is last in the East now.
And so you've got a really good opportunity there that even if you lose to Dallas, those are three very winnable games right there, right away to start January. And you're starting to get healthier, but that's going to be the most important thing. So I don't want them to wait for the first loss to all of a sudden shuffle the board and just kind of keep the good vibes going. There is some worry to that of you shuffle it and then you screw everything up. I'm not going to deny that. But I don't want to wait for the first loss because you are bringing in a guy like Zucker
who can help the power play. I'd rather it be against Dallas.
I'd rather it be against Dallas, but you're bringing a guy like Zucker back who's going to help on the power play. He should go right back to being one of their main men there. And then as well, you're already seeing it, the first and third line. You know, they maybe have run out of gas. They maybe do need that shakeup anyways. The fourth line's been great. The second line, well, ultimately the second line, the Norris and Benson stuff, that's been great. But you can shake it up. And I kind of want them to. Just a little bit, because this is now starting to look like a team that can go on a run here. It's the after the first loss that is going to be the most crucial here, wherever that happens. Yep. I'm not saying it's going to happen in Dallas. It could be the Rangers, for all we know. Like, we're mentioning how bad they are at MSG. It could be that game, and they could break records here. But it's going to happen. And when it does, that's the most important part, is what do you do after that?
And that's the key to all of this, is that, yeah, the Sabres have won 9 in a row, but there are some pitfalls. They still are tied for a wild card spot, only tied for a wild card spot. And we're just about threatening near the 40-game mark of the season. There's half a year left to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that has to be considered throughout. How do you respond after you take that first loss? How do you respond after finally not being able to come away with a win? Because it's been 3 weeks since you've lost a hockey game. Wild stuff.
It's been a little bit.
But how do you respond after the loss? That's the big deal. That's something that Lindy Ruff has mentioned before. It's about how you respond to the losses. Not how you respond to wins, how you respond to loss.
803-0550, the number to call. We've got primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock. Bunch of great performances. And even, at least for me, a little bit of basketball as well. And then 11:30, we'll talk to Paul Hamilton as, again, we've been talking all morning. Sabres get to 9 in a row. They are on a absolute heater. And I think arguably now at this point, the hottest team in the National Hockey League. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number one. Wow. Got there, though. Wrapping up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. Talking a lot of Sabres today as the team does get it to 9 straight wins following last night's 4-2 win over St. Louis. It was dicey at the end. Alex Lyon makes an unreal save. And Peyton Krebs continues to be Michael Jordan of empty netters.
What's funnier about that, by the way?
Incredible.
First of all, why did you mix sports on that one? I don't know why you did that. You
could MJ,
just,
baby.
You could have just said Gretzky it, like I did.
I mean, I don't know. Was Gretzky that good at the empty netters? I don't know.
He was good at everything.
I mean, yes, I assume, but I don't want to like find out later. But God, Zach, he was terrible at
those. Is Michael Jordan good at empty netters?
I assume, probably.
Every net is empty, actually, exactly. In a basketball game, I guess.
Exactly.
I guess. Unless you're dealing with
Can't be Mutombo.
Victor Wembanyama.
No, no, no. Not in my house.
Yeah, so ultimately it worked.
Okay, sure. But anyway, more importantly to that, just adding to the last like bit of chaos on that, Lyon dives back across. He does not have his glove.
No, no.
So if the play does not get out of the zone, you have a goaltender without a glove who has to then try to stop a puck with his bare hand because the reflexes are going to make him do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. That'd be terrifying. I'm like, okay, Alex Lyon's out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken hand because he caught a puck.
I didn't even think about that. I literally the whole time, like, even after Krebs scores, I'm like, oh, it's going to get called back because he's going to get a tripping call. No, we didn't. Okay, we won. Like, I waited a little while to say anything about it.
The glove is sitting there at the back of the wall.
Oh, boy.
Because he was that much of, oh, crap.
Yeah, I'm watching a video on it now. Man.
Yeah, oh, it's fun to watch.
Fun game. Fun run right now. 803-0550, the number to call. We're taking calls a lot this morning. We'll keep doing that here. And next up is Vince on the line. Vince, how we doing?
Hey, good, thanks. Obviously, the win streak has coincided more or less with the change in general manager. You guys are making the case that it's pretty much directly related to that. How would that change at general manager actually affect the players on the ice? So what specifically do you think they're – how did it affect them specifically? I mean, other than just, you know, having the change itself.
Yeah, Vince, thanks for the call. For me, to make it like the most simple possible, mental. The bad boss is fired in many ways probably for them. The good boss is in, and there's now, I think, a sense of belief that the team is actually being run properly.
I might even go ahead and say something a little bit on accountability. You want to prove to the new boss that you're worth keeping.
And that is, I think, absolutely true as well. Because I've mentioned it a lot. I think like 90% of this roster is playing like, in a sense, they're playing for their job.
As a matter of fact, you could look at the accountability part of it and impressing a new boss, because one of the shakier players after the GM change was Power. That game against the Flyers, he was dreadful for 40 minutes, like almost like I couldn't trust him to be on the ice. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was like 30 seconds in, Power lets up a pizza right up the middle of the ice for a turnover and lines up to the task to make the save. So, yeah, it is a little bit of – it's the human element. And I think that's why we're kind of correlating it that way, Vince, of sometimes you have a reaction, a mental reaction to a new boss being there. And that's in any step of life.
With all that being said, though, the longer this goes with Yarmo not making a move and the team, you know, keeps winning – we are going to have to, even if you don't want to, you have to acknowledge this is ultimately the team that Kevin Emms did build and put on the ice game one. They've had some injuries. Don't get me wrong.
You were wrong. You were just late.
Right. And so, like, it will always come back to this with Adams. It was the inaction at crucial times to make a move, to do something to fix the team. Because, yeah, you go through slumps. It happens. But those lengthy losing streaks, not even sending someone down to Rochester, not even bringing somebody up. You know, in the offseason, 23, when you had everyone believing you were a young, fun, you know, respectable hockey team, not really doing anything. That's ultimately what gets him fired. It really, in many ways, is not actually even the trades he did make or even the team makeup he did build. It was the other things that just stopped him from ever taking, I think, another step as a general manager. We'll see if he ever gets another shot in hockey again. But the more the Sabres win, he should and will
the
probably put this on his resume.
Yeah,
absolutely. Get the number to call, 803-0550. We'll take one more here before we hit our next timeout. Jerry is on the line. Jerry, how are we doing?
Good this morning. I've waited.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know, almost 2 days to talk about this. And I'm going to give you two things that most people really don't understand about what happened on Sunday. First, I go for two every time there, and I'll tell you why. Maybe they didn't convert the two-point conversion because our quarterback right now is physically and mentally shot. So, you know what? Let's make him play another 10 minutes in adverse conditions against a very aggressive defense. That sounds like a great idea. You go for the win there, and if you don't get it, you don't get it. It was a sense close to a meaningless game. I know mentally we loved it, but he makes that bad throw. I think he's tired, and I think he's hurt, and I think he needs this week off. And there was no good reason to play another 10 minutes against a super aggressive defense. Now, the other thing I had a problem with the past 2 days is all these people talking about how we leave points on the field. You know, the game script doesn't go the same if you take the points. And I'll give you a perfect example. On the fourth down, where we turn it over at the one, if we had kicked the field goal there, Philly doesn't get the ball at the one. They get the ball after a kickoff. That's how we had good field position the rest of the game, because we kept going and not getting it. We had shorter fields. There's no reason to think that Philly was going to punt it back to us when they got it at the 35 or the 30 after a kickoff. You cannot think the game script is going to go exactly the same because you kicked the field goal. It's not going to go the same. Field position changed.
Jerry, I am absolutely in agreement with
95%?
99%, because I don't know.
What's the what?
Josh Allen. I don't totally know if he's like mentally exhausted. He definitely physically. I don't know the guy personally. I'm not inside his head, so I don't want to say that for sure. But after that, I'm in agreement with Jerry. I'd go for two every single time.
Yeah.
End of the game. You have the best red zone weapon in the sport. Go for it.
It's also just the simple matter of this game has not gone the way that you wanted it to, and yet you have a chance to walk away into the locker room with a win. What would have to take over your head to go, nah, let's give Philadelphia a chance?
Well,
no.
And quickly on that too, and because I saw it all over social media, Bills had, for people that were disagreeing with the 2 point, Bills had all the momentum.
Nah,
momentum is a fickle mistress. You all of a sudden just kick the extra point and it's 13-13, we're going overtime. That gives Philly life. Now all of a sudden it's like we just need one drive. One drive. And they have elite talent across the board on the offense. It has not been a good year for them, no doubt. And yet they win these close games. All it takes is one AJ Brown gets behind the defense and we've got a problem. Saquon Barkley breaks off a run against ultimately a bad run defense, although they had a great game on Sunday. I don't really want to give them a chance when I have effectively grabbed the game. Just end it. And to Jerry's point as well, my quarterback's also taking a huge beating. I kind of want to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I kind of want to be done.
Let's get out of here.
803-0550, again, the number to call. Primetime Players coming up next. We've also got Paul Hamilton joining the show at 11:30. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.